Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
And with that, we began the end of evening number three last night. Tim Walz, the governor, accepting the nomination for the vice presidency, capping off a night that, you know, it was a weird night last night. I'll tell you that. It was an odd night. And part of the reason I say it was weird is because, on the one hand, you had some spectacular, entertaining, interesting, captivating moments. Like, for example, you had a couple of absolute superstars show up and perform and give us the things that, you know, you just would not have exactly expected necessarily. Although, you know, the history of the Democrats showing off people and their abilities is, you know, it's not the first time they've done this. But for example, John Legend was there last night. And he performed with Sheila E., and I think it was not lip-synced. I think for the most part, there was one moment. And I say this because, you know, you just have to remember that most all of these major events, that's always a question, right? Whereas once upon a time, you could be excoriated from American culture like Milli Vanilli forever lip-syncing. Nowadays, it's sort of more the norm than it is not the norm. But, I, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I don't think that he was. And it was quite a performance, him and Sheila E. Earlier in the night, you had another massive mega superstar performing.
Ladies and gentlemen, American icon Stevie Wonder.
And he actually spoke a little bit before he sang, but it was the singing that was the most interesting.
Are y'all ready? You're gonna have to get louder than that. I want y'all to sing with me. Come on. People. People.
You sing.
People.
Now, I know that more as a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, but of course it was his originally. So, you know, and he was pretty spectacular. Again, I don't think that it was, you know, recorded and lip-synced or anything like that. He actually kind of wowed the crowd by, it, you know, some of his slightly quoting himself sort of references.
I just want to say I love you. I love you.
I mean, you know, that was good and, you know.
We must keep on keeping on until we truly are a united people of these United States. And then we will reach our higher ground. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready to reach a higher ground? Are you ready to reach a higher ground? Tell me. I'm gonna hear you again. Are you ready? Are we ready?
And it was deafening. I mean, you know, Stevie Wonder tells you to repeat yourself and get louder. You repeat yourself and get louder, and the people certainly did. So on the one hand, that was sort of, you know, highlight stuff. Even, honestly, and, you know, you absolutely have to give credit where credit is due. When somebody shows up that nobody expects but that everybody recognizes an international megastar, people lose their minds.
Please welcome Oprah Winfrey.
Now, I will tell you, this is another great example of how the audio feed from the conference did not even come close to doing it justice. This was the loudest moment of the night last night, easily. It rivaled the reception that Michelle Obama got. It might have been as loud as, it might have been louder. It's hard to tell. They were both totally deafening.
But it was right there.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it was in that same kind of, you know, Bobby, yesterday we were talking about, Kevin, that
it hurt your ears to be inside the arena.
It did, and, you know, your hairs on your arm are standing up. It's electric in there, and, you know, people are just thrilled. And, of course, she gave, you know, her speech, and I will say that probably, you know, as you go through the moments in her speech, you got to give credit where credit is due, and it was the ending that gave everybody the biggest thrill.
So, let us choose. Let us choose truth. Let us choose honor. And let us choose joy.
I mean, you know, it's a good moment. It really is.
But more than anything else, let us choose freedom. Why? Because that's the best of America. We're all Americans, and together, let's all choose Kamala Harris!
Yeah, and you could, I mean...
Yeah, the place brought the house down.
Brought the house down, absolutely. Which, again, in sort of weirdly in keeping with what we experienced on Tuesday night, the big moment of the night was an hour and a half before the keynote address. You know, it was, Michelle was the big event before her husband, Barack Obama. Oprah, you know, I mean, that was what, at like 8:30, maybe?
Pretty early.
9, something like that. And, of course, Tim Walz didn't finish up until about 10:30, something like that. So then back to Tim Walz, because obviously hearing from him was the big point. And one of the things I thought was interesting is that in his speech.
All I know is he's very respectful.
Tell me more.
Of our time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, the old expression is, if you're going to be good, be fast, and they'll remember that you were good. And if you're going to be bad, be fast, and they'll remember that you were fast.
I was like, this man is very respectful.
And he was both good and fast. I mean, it was 16 minutes, and he's out. Done. In fact, and it was early. It was only about 10:30, I think, when he finished. And, he said, and then to wrap up, I'm like, the what?
Yeah.
Awesome. Because in contrast with Tim Walz, you had a couple of people earlier. Here, I'll let you hear a little bit from Tim.
We're all here tonight for one beautiful, simple reason. We love this country.
And he was, you know,
so
he was on.
Thank you to all of you here in Chicago and all of you watching at home tonight. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your determination. And most of all, thank you for bringing the joy to this fight.
And by the way, that has become one of the, I won't say subtle themes, but I'll say one of the themes is this idea of joy, that Kamala Harris is the bringer of joy. Not just the bringer of policy, not just the come with her into the White House, you know, that she represents you. There is absolutely a messianic tone to the way they're talking about Kamala Harris. But, hey, fair is fair. We get a lot of that when they talk about Trump and the RNC, okay? And there is certainly a lot of messianic feel to how people respond to President Trump. You know, all of their hopes and dreams and aspirations come true and watching him succeed and represent them. But that bringer of joy thing has been a theme that I've seen. I mean, Tim Walz has been talking about that for a couple of weeks now, Frank. Well, about a week and a half, something like that at least. So he's been talking that way. But, he had some very good moments talking about running originally.
So there I was, a 40-something high school teacher with little kids, zero political experience, and no money, running in a deep red district. But you know what? Never underestimate a public school teacher. Never.
I mean, that was his moment. That was one of those, you know, red meat, make them happy, give them what they want, celebrate the teachers. You know, I'm a teacher. All of this. You know, he goes through his speech and he talks about the Project 2025 thing quite a bit. We'll get to more of that later. This thing, which it's so fascinating to me that the entire Democrat Party has made a strategic decision to absolutely lie about President Trump. And the lie is that the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, a social conservative document, an economic fiscal conservative document that he has nothing to do with and does not agree with and is not a part of the platform for the GOP, and he has actually gotten the guy who orchestrated that fired from the Heritage Foundation, or, I mean, he resigned, but, you know, he got resigned, whatever. And he has gone to, sue them to not use his own name in connection with this document. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are at the DNC, and they're blaming Trump and saying, if you want to avoid Project 2025, you got to vote for Kamala Harris because Trump will do that, when Trump is Absolutely not that. Those are not his values. As I've said before, I'll say it again. If a person showed up in the year 2024 and you didn't know that it was Trump, and he said the ideas that Trump says, and he represented the platform that Trump has gotten the GOP platform to become, you would call him a rhino. You would call him a Republican in name only. A big government, big debt, don't care about the budget, don't care about the deficit, don't care about social conservative, you know, policies like, acronym issues, real squishy on abortion in terms of what that should be. You would, you know, traditional marriage, not even an opinion. Okay, you would never call that person a social conservative or a Republican, but it happens to be Trump, and so he's the definition of the party. Well, the Democrats have decided that they are going to blame Trump, and they're going to strawman him, they're going to exaggerate him, and say he's the Project 2025 kid, and they've been attacking him on that consistently throughout this whole convention. So it's an interesting choice by them to completely misrepresent him and where the GOP is today, even though there are a lot of us who would identify more with Project 2025 and say, yeah, that'd be something we want, or we at least agree with a lot of those ideas, but it's just not where Trump is, and it's not where the party is. Anyway, so, you know, Tim Walz, he does pretty well, and the best thing about it is he went for 16 minutes. You know who didn't go for 16 minutes? President Bill Clinton. See, last night was a real contrast of wins and not wins. And I don't think this is probably the last public speech that President Clinton is going to give, but Clinton started with great applause.
Please welcome the 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton.
And it was much louder than that sounds. And then his first line.
But it wasn't.
After the last 2 days, aren't you proud to be a Democrat?
And everything thereafter got less and less enthusiastic. And Bobby, you were going to say that he didn't get the reception you would have maybe thought he would get.
It wasn't comparative to Oprah or Michelle Obama.
Or even Barack Obama. Right. Yeah. And you had the idea that maybe you weren't sure whether Clinton was going to get a bigger or better reception than Barack Obama. I think I said, and if I didn't say it, then call me out on, you know, misrepresenting in the past, but I did not expect Bill Clinton to get the reception that Obama or Michelle got. I expected him to get a good reception, but I didn't, for one thing, a lot of the people in the audience weren't paying attention to politics when Bill Clinton was in office.
That's true.
He's a historical figure. I mean, he's Biden's, you know, he's younger than Biden.
He's Trump's age.
Yeah, he's Trump's age, and so a lot of people were not, you know, paying any attention in the 90s. Yeah. they might not have been alive yet.
True. A lot of them there were not alive.
I mean, if you're 21 at this convention or 18 at this convention, you were born in what, 05, 06, you know? That's 13 years after he was the president.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of people in this convention for whom Bill Clinton is a figure. I'm trying to think, like, okay, Gen X, and then if we go back, that'd be like, think Nixon. For people who are, you know, 50 or so.
Yeah.
If Nixon's at an event that you're at, how loudly do you cheer back when he was alive? You know,
like, oh, I read about you.
Yeah. I think I saw a video of you one time. You know, yeah. Like, it doesn't. So I didn't expect Bill Clinton to get the huge cheers, and he didn't. And then he went on. And he went on.
And he kept going.
He didn't?
He had papers in front of him.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
He was
reading off of his notes.
I will tell you, if I ever had to give a speech like this, I'm using papers. But I'm holding them. Because as a teacher, I always used to hold my my teaching prep in my hand. That's how I do.
It was hard. He had and the thing is, I actually think he had a decent message. It's just the delivery
did.
Was like, oh, my God.
He is very aged, sounds it. He doesn't have a strong voice anymore. And I didn't know what to expect of him because I know in the past, Clinton can bring the house down. Clinton can move a crowd. He is a very charming person. He is a very likable. I put aside everything you think about his politics or anything he's done. He is a very likable person. He works a room. He's the guy that you might think you don't like him. You get in a room with him. Guess what? You're buddies when he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who he is.
That's what everybody always
Everybody says
him.
That. Yeah. But he, in his speech, just... it was not. There were moments. Don't get me wrong. There were moments, but you know, he was a 78-year-old man trying to give a speech for a half an hour, 28 minutes.
What does your opponent do with his voice? He mostly talks about himself, right? So the next time you hear him, don't count the lies. Count the eyes.
Now, it's a good line. I give him, it's definitely a good line, but it just, it was after many, many, many minutes of thinking, how long, sir, how long? And then Nancy Pelosi, to her credit, was equally uninteresting. In mm-hmm. fact, I think I didn't even grab any of the clips from her. I actually, you know, the only thing I grabbed was the introduction from Mindy Kaling. But at least she was quick. She was gone in 6 minutes, you know?
Yeah, she wasn't bad, yeah.
So
the thing I was surprised about Bill Clinton, though, is like, okay, listening to him, be like you said, well, we're listening to an aged man. But it's like, wait a minute, we just heard from you know, how many times have we heard from Donald Trump, who's his age?
Right.
And he has way more energy than that. How many times have we heard from even Biden the other day on Monday?
Yeah.
Had way more energy, way more punch, way more everything than
I think the thing Clinton I think had. The thing that Biden had going for him is that we knew he was definitely showing so much sign of age.
Yeah.
And so when he gets out there, there's nothing surprising about his delivery. And he did very good within his range. Mm-hmm. Like, he was at the upper end of his performance capability. I don't know whether Bill Clinton was at the upper end of his performance capability, but he sounded terrible compared to Biden. And he sounded horrible compared to Trump, which is why when he makes his age joke, which he did, you know, I'm 78 and I'm still younger than former President Trump. All you can think is, well, God, Trump doesn't sound like this. He sounds pretty good for 78, you know, by comparison. So
he seemed worn out, that's for sure.
Yeah, Bill Clinton seemed like he was worn out, definitely. So we have a lot more to share with you after day three of the DNC yesterday. No protests. It was all very quiet here. Nothing from the outside of the convention to talk about. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Ugh, I've been feeling so sluggish and just kind of blah.
Been there. That's why I take Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites.
But I suppose they taste blah?
Actually, they taste delicious. It's an apple blueberry-flavored center covered in a yogurt coating and is infused with probiotics to help support a healthy gut. They come 5 in a pouch. I just toss one in my bag and go.
Toss one in my bag?
Get your own.
New Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites from the makers of the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Find them in the digestive care aisle.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
Ugh, I've been feeling so sluggish and just kind of blah.
Been there. That's why I take Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites.
But I suppose they taste blah?
Actually, they taste delicious. It's an apple blueberry-flavored center covered in a yogurt coating and is infused with probiotics to help support a healthy gut. They come 5 in a pouch. I just toss one in my bag and go.
Toss one in my bag?
Get your own.
New Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites from the makers of the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Find them in the digestive care aisle.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
that make you go, hmm.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We're in Chicago for what is now the fourth day of the week, covering the third day of the convention. We'll be here for one more day and come back home to Pensacola. Can't wait to get back home to Pensacola, though I do have a great enjoyment from the food here. I'll say that much. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, former President Trump held his first outdoor rally since the assassination attempt last night. That happened in Asheboro, North Carolina. He had bulletproof glass both in front of and behind him. U.S. supply
chain. And behind him. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was looked almost like a box, but with an open.
The Pope Mobile?
What's that?
The Pope Mobile.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, same concept. U.S. supply chains are being threatened by a Canadian rail strike. Rail networks across Canada were shut down yesterday after labor talks broke down with the Canadian National Railway in the Canadian Pacific, Kansas City. U.S. Railroad Union Pacific said earlier this week that a Canadian strike would halt the movement of around 2,500 rail cars that cross the border every day. And there's a new study out that finds as much as two-thirds of infant and toddler food sold in U.S. supermarkets may be unhealthy. Study was done by the George Institute for Global Health. They looked at 651 baby food products sold in 10 different grocery chains. They said 70% did not meet nutritional requirements.
Hmm. Interesting. Not great. Not the kind of thing that you're hoping for news. I did mention food briefly, and yeah, we had our third day of amazing food yesterday. Carson's ribs.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Au gratin potatoes, house garbage salad. Oh, my childhood comes alive. So.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz accepts the Democrats' vice presidential nomination at the party's convention in Chicago.
When I was teaching, every year, we'd elect a student body president. And you know what? Those teenagers could teach Donald Trump a hell of a lot about what a leader is.
He and former President Clinton talked about the joy Vice President Kamala Harris brings to the campaign.
She will break my record as the president who spent the most time at McDonald's.
He was known for eating there, she worked there, and she gives the convention's final speech tonight. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. plans to speak tomorrow about the future of his independent presidential campaign.
Kennedy is speaking from Arizona, where former President Trump will be as well. The two have been reportedly talking in recent weeks, and there's even talk that if Kennedy endorses Trump, he could potentially find a place in a future Trump administration.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is partly cloudy. We've got 74 degrees in Pensacola right now. A 61-year-old Pensacola man has died after being hit by a vehicle while riding a bicycle. The Florida Highway Patrol says that happened at West Jordan and North Pace on Wednesday afternoon. Troopers say the bicyclist died at the scene of that crash. Escambia County deputies say they're looking for a missing 37-year-old woman. Deputies say Amanda C. Newberry was last seen on the 200 block of Queen Away on Saturday. There is an active search for the woman now. There's a photo of her posted on the sheriff's office, Facebook, and other social media. Deputies are currently asking anybody who has information on Newberry's location to contact them. A distracted driver caused a three-vehicle crash on Wednesday around 3 p.m. in Santa Rosa County, with one car narrowly avoiding hitting a student who was getting off a school bus. A 31-year-old Gulf Breeze man in a van, a 43-year-old Navarre woman in an SUV, and a 75-year-old Milton school bus driver were all traveling eastbound on Highway 98 approaching the intersection of Suncrest, according to FHP. The Gulf Breeze man was distracted by a water bottle rolling on the floorboard of the vehicle. There was a collision. He hit the rear bumper of the Navarre woman's SUV, then hit the rear bumper of the school bus, which was stopped at the time with the flashing red lights and an extended stop sign. The school bus driver was able to quickly grab the student and hold on to them so they would not be injured. Both the Gulf Breeze man and the Navarre woman suffered minor injuries from the crash. The school bus driver and the student were not hurt. Well, you might be getting a letter soon telling you that your personal information has been compromised. Another cybersecurity incident. The Florida Department of Health announcing yesterday that it's been impacted. They say some of the personal information that may have been accessed includes social security numbers, banking and credit card information, driver's license numbers, passport numbers, military ID numbers, and they say even medical information such as what medications you take. The Department of Health has been notifying those who may have been affected. If you've been affected, you could get a year of free credit monitoring and ID theft protection. The Florida Department of Health says it discovered the data breach back in June and notified the FDLE. There's a new initiative coming that could bring relief to those who were affected by Hurricane Debbie. Governor DeSantis announced Activate Hope yesterday in Sarasota County. That's an expansion of Hope Florida to serve those who are recovering from natural disasters. Activate Hope will be the emergency response arm for the Hope Florida initiative. And the governor said it'll be putting together the private sector, nonprofits, and government resources to help get residents back on their feet after a disaster. 534 News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will see some scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 60% chance of rain overall. High near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, just a small chance of a stray shower. 30% chance of rain. High near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Well, thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we do have partly cloudy skies, 74 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, and it's 73 in Milton. At 5:35, let's get a look at our market report for the morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Federal Reserve minutes said the agency is gaining confidence that an interest rate cut could be on the table in September. Markets are fully pricing in a September cut, which would be the first since the emergency easing in the early days of the COVID-19 crisis. And more inflation data is on the way at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The number of weekly initial jobless claims will be released. Arch Resources and Console Energy are combining to form a single coal producer valued at more than $5 billion. The new joint venture, which would be called Coal Natural Resources, will be based in Pennsylvania. If approved by shareholders and regulators, the deal is expected to close in the first quarter of 2025. Shares of Arch rose nearly 6% upon the news, while Console rose nearly 8%. Shares are slightly higher as the markets prepare for Jerome Powell's comments tomorrow. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials were up 55. That's your money now.
5:36, our next news at 6 a.m. and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
PenAir Credit Union's new high-yield checking account helps members elevate their financial journey when they need it most. Earn 4% APY simply by enrolling in e-statements and making a deposit of $250 or more once a month. It's that simple. Get started online by visiting PenAir.org or visit one of our 12 convenient locations in Northwest Florida and South Alabama. It's okay to think big. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 4% annual percentage yield with e-statement and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more. For details, go to PenAir.org/checking.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Five 538 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I want to go back a day a little bit because there was some material from the day before on Tuesday that I had not had a chance to share with you, even a little bit from Monday. And it's interesting because the convention is fascinating. And just like at the RNC, you know, there are things you maybe don't exactly expect that might be a little bit surprising. I'll tell you, one of the things that I turned to you, Bobby, yesterday when we were watching all the speeches, and I said, they haven't talked about Israel and Hamas at all today. Like, there was not a mention of it. And I know the theme was freedom. I mean, it was clearly gays and abortion was the theme of the day, right? That was again and again and again with the speakers. But also, no talk of foreign policy, no mention of the military other than talking about Tim Walz's record. And I thought, well, this is just weird. I mean, it was odd because there were certain things that you got over and over and over again at the RNC, and you got the, you know, USA chants all the time. They did it a couple of times at the DNC. It didn't feel super compelling to me. You know, we are patriotic, we love the country. I think many of them do. I think many of them do not. I think for, you know, many Democrats, and even including, you know, the former president, President Obama, the message of, I love this country, but this country needs to really change to be something we could really love. That kind of feel, you know, you can't be super excited about cherishing something that you think needs to change for it to properly be correct or whatever. One of the things that I didn't get a chance to talk about the other day is Raphael Warnock, who, you know, was one of the warm-up acts. This is a good example of somebody who gives a speech in which the content is sort of okay, but then finishes so well that it's almost like you don't even care. Like, the ending was so strong. So this is kind of him going through it.
And yes, I saw him. I saw him holding the Bible. And endorsing a Bible as if it needed his endorsement.
It's funny.
He should try reading it.
And again, that was a much louder roar in the actual arena. And then he went through and this is something that, you know, I have said. I mean, Trump's knowledge of the Bible, Trump's advocacy of the Bible, you know, 2 Corinthians, you know, it's not his language. It's not his thing. And of course, for him to come out with the Bible that's, you know, Al Greenwood and represents America and the history of America, you're like, sir.
It says, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. He should try reading it. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. It says, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, you have done it also unto me.
And the reason I wanted you to hear this, in part because, I mean, this is a criticism that people who take Christianity and religion, the Bible, seriously have also raised, at least some of them. Some of them are so sold out to Trump that they can't even see the idea that there would be criticism to be had of him. I think that's a very concerning quality. You should always be willing to see the criticisms of any human being because none of us are Jesus. But also because where Democrats are not as a group particularly fluent in the language of patriotism, okay?
Yeah.
They are, especially black Democrats, very fluent in the language of faith references. And I know for conservative Christians, it feels wrong when they are talking about ideas that maybe are not your emphasis or are not what you would agree with, but recognize the power of black Christianity in the Democrat Party. And this has a long history. I mean, going all the way back to, long before Martin Luther King Jr., who was a Baptist minister. But the black churches are so heavily invested in, generally speaking, so heavily invested in line with the Democrat Party that the complaint that these white Christian evangelical churches would preach politics from the pulpit, sir, for how many decades has social liberation and social justice theory been the message at your churches? And I don't mind this. I don't, you know, I have no problem with this. I just think, don't call the one thing bad when you do the other thing. Okay? And Raphael Warnock was a good example of fluency in comfort and familiarity in talking about faith from the liberal perspective, and particularly the liberal black perspective, and especially from the, look, the subject matter is politics, but the tone of a lot of the black speakers is very much black preachery.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, Michelle Obama could have been any black female preacher in any black Pentecostal church or charismatic church, and, you know, she would have been right at home in that environment. In fact, if anything, she was a little bit mild for that environment. I speak as a guy who was born again into a black Pentecostal church, you know, so I kind of know a little bit what I'm talking about. So when you hear Raphael Warnock, you hear that the Democrats aren't good at speaking the language of patriotism with much it's not convincing. But when they speak the language of faith and the Bible, it doesn't feel unnatural at all because they're speaking it very sincerely. You can disagree with them about what they're saying, but this is their language.
I need my neighbor's children to be okay so that my children will be okay. I need all of my neighbor's children to be okay. Poor inner city children in Atlanta and poor children of Appalachia. I need the poor children of Israel and the poor children of Gaza. I need Israelis and Palestinians. I need those in the Congo, those in Haiti, those in Ukraine. I need American children on both sides of the track to be okay. Because we are all God's children. And so let's stand together. Let's work together. Let's organize together. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Let's heal the land. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Yeah, that was exactly like his tone was, there's one more big cap sentence coming, but the content was like, oh, crap, I got to finish this. But he's a black pastor, right? I mean, that's who he was. But I play that only for you to understand that there was seamless harmony between him and the audience in terms of that being perfectly acceptable, perfectly normal. We are all behind all of this. And not surprising, given the history of the church. What you don't hear a lot, I'm thinking of the RNC, elected officials, you know, senators and congressmen, speaking as if they were pastors. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of them are not, but you don't hear
they
that same kind of tone.
Pastors coming to the RNC.
They had them, yes, yeah. and they slayed. Yeah. I mean, they were fantastic. That's absolutely right. 437-1620. Another voice I didn't get a chance to share with you the other day, but I thought was equally interesting, was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I know it's not the most enjoyable voice to hear. No, for some people.
I was like, why don't you just quote it?
But again, understand that when she's talking, okay, when she's talking, people are listening. People are paying attention. And she has, even though she was early and on a Monday, remember, she was outside. You know, she wasn't outside the convention. She wasn't with the Hamas protesters or anything. But she was definitely not a mainstream liberal Democrat. But she has gotten a lot closer to that, or the party has moved a lot closer to her. And so, you know, she's more in tune with where the Democrat Party is today, I would say. And they've more embraced her, at least somewhat.
In Chicago, we have to help her win. Because we know that Donald Trump would sell this country for a dollar if it meant lining his own pockets and greasing the palms of his Wall Street friends. And I, for one, am tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots that breathe, trembling on our way of life.
On our way up live. but listen, I mean, the crowd loved it, of course.
Oh, yeah, she actually did a really good job.
Yeah, she was actually one of the better speeches from Monday. And when I hear her talking, of course, what I'm thinking is, well, yeah, he's anti-union because, you know, unions. And weirdly, he's not, He's very loved among union members, among blue-collar workers. But the history of the unions is not particularly super pro-America. You know, unions are historically a socialist or a communist, kind of the proletariat, you know, the working class rising up and taking power from the man. It's a very classist concept. And so, you know, I think of myself as being very pro-America, and I have no great love for unions unless they're law enforcement, and usually I kind of view them a little bit differently because they are different than a lot of the, you know, trades-related unions. But that's because I believe in free enterprise, and I believe in not having that kind of a mindset about wealth or about war among the classes and about freedom and the ability to transcend and all, you know, all of the things. So anyway, it's interesting to me to listen to her and think about what is really American and who does Trump represent, and her notion that you can't be a patriot if you don't believe in unions. I'm like, what?
The truth is, Doug, you cannot love this country if you only fight for the wealthy and big business. To love this country is to fight for its people. All people, working people, everyday Americans like bartenders and factory workers and fast food cashiers who punch a clock and are on their feet all day in some of the toughest jobs out there.
And all I could think when she was saying this is, those are the folks who love Trump.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's...
I mean, not all of them, but they're like, the people who love Trump historically have been the people who are blue-collar, middle-income level, trades, you know, the people she's talking about, because when they listen to him, they feel like he is talking their language.
You know, the
he's not the elitist. He's not the Ivy, you know, he's not the PhD kind of... The people like me are the people who find Trump super frustrating and obnoxious. The people she's talking about, things like, that's how we talk.
Yep. That's why they liked him, is because that's
right.
He talks like us.
He doesn't talk like the elitists or the blue bloods or any of that kind of stuff.
Who I find that don't like Trump in the Republican Party are often, not always, but often your upper white middle class.
Yep. Yep. Because
the ones that don't like him.
Yeah, because the way he talks, that's me, okay? The way he talks about anything, his use of language, he doesn't honor the kind of standards that we have believed in as what leaders should, you know, the way education sounds, the way smart people sound, all of that kind of stuff. He doesn't sound that way at all, and it drives us crazy, you know, a lot of the time. So just one last thing, because, you know, I think she's right about the premise, but wrong about the application here. Of course, she used to be, what, a waitress, bartender, right?
Bartender, yeah.
Ever since I got elected, Republicans have attacked me by saying that I should go back to bartending. But let me tell you, I'm happy to any day of the week, because there is nothing wrong with working for a living.
So the word you want here is non sequitur. A non sequitur is when you start off with one concept and then you join a second concept to it as if the one flows into the other, and in reality they have nothing to do with each other. But again, this notion that the working class people are somehow, you know, I mean, it's smart to reach out to them and try to pretend that they're not Trump supporters, but they are very much the Trump supporters.
You got to remember, the Democrat Party for years has done a very good job of branding themselves. They've done a better job of branding themselves than the Republican Party by far. And for decades, they branded themselves as the Party of Labor.
Yep.
We are the Party of Labor. We're the party for the working class. And one thing Democrats have also done is, and they've done this for years and years and years, and we've seen it on display a lot recently, this past week, which is just say it as if it's true, and then maybe it will become true.
Oh, man. There are so many examples of that from this week, and particularly the Project 2025 stuff.
Yeah.
And just, you know, say it and say it and say it and hope nobody challenges you on it, and eventually everybody will just believe you.
But I've been saying that for over a decade about the Democratic Party when it comes to their approach to the working class.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep saying that we are the ones that are fighting for the working class, even though working class usually struggles when we're in charge. But we're going to keep saying it over and over and over. And so we're going to keep pointing out how he only cares about rich people, even though black unemployment was the highest under the Trump administration.
Yeah, here's a good example. Bernie Sanders, you know, noted socialist, right? Okay, Bernie Sanders.
The top 1% have never, ever had it so good.
I mean, maybe Vanderbilt and Carnegie, you know.
And these oligarchs tell us we shouldn't tax the rich.
These oligarchs.
The way he talks is so old school socialist. It's so funny. But yeah, who had the lowest minority unemployment in history? Under Trump, right? I mean, that's – look, I understand.
What was the first president in decades to have working class – and you're talking about wages for the working class to rise
right.
without an increase in minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Trump.
It happened without it. That's exactly right. And so you hear this stuff, and I find myself really torn, okay, in doing analysis both of the RNC and of the DNC. And here's where I find myself torn. I was raised to be, and I still am, and I'm a lover of the truth first, okay? Facts first, reason first, argument first, evidence first. Everything else has to go after that. But I realize most people don't operate on that paradigm. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of Americans are not primarily driven by evidence, facts, reason. They just aren't. Most people are not.
So if you want to win. To Andrew, I cannot tell you how many times he has said in the past week alone, when are they going to talk about their policies?
and okay, but here's the point.
Because you want the facts.
I do. But they are not presenting me a newscast. They're not presenting me a newspaper article or an op-ed. They're presenting me a political rally. They are presenting me a sales rally that doesn't really give you the techniques to do selling, but gets you motivated about the product. This is a motivational seminar, and the RNC was too.
I would say, which is your complaint about J.D. Vance's speech. You're like, he didn't give me any
details like me.
About
just
what
like me.
Yeah.
Just like me. And that, and yeah, okay, I'm just being honest here.
You're the
this
minority.
This is necessary.
Now.
I am. I absolutely am. This is effective. This is if you want to win in politics, this works. This works. Trump. Oh my God. Logical structure out the window. Massively popular. Why? Because most people don't operate on that system. Maybe they never have. But historically, American politics was dominated by people who at least played to that system, played within that system, and thought the system, evidence and logic, was the right system to honor. We are no longer in that world, and they are not even trying anymore. And
I'm glad you brought that up, because actually one of the things I was just looking at this morning was KamalaHarris.com, her official campaign website, zero policy.
Oh yeah, no, there's no. They don't even care.
Not even on the website.
It's not even a felt necessity to put anything like that on the website anymore, because nobody cares.
So by the way, yesterday the Trump administration released a Kamala Harris policy website,
like a satire. That's funny.
They released one for her
of what she would have said. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay and Bobby Rossi in Chicago.
When I say brand names like BMW, Porsche, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, you might think, hey, those are very nice cars. You spend extra to get them. They're luxury imports. You have to go to the dealership to get them serviced, right? No. In fact, there's a federal law that protects you in being able to go anywhere to get them serviced. You don't have to go to the dealership. And that means if the dealership is at a distance, like in Mobile or in Destin or something like that, you don't have to spend the money on the gas. You don't have to spend the extra money on going to the dealership. You don't have to waste the time of driving and hoping that the bayway isn't clogged up today. Go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway and on US 29. That's right. They just expanded. So they are at their second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, Highway 29, right across from the Super Walmart. So they have expanded out of that second place, and you can go there to get the same great service on your imports, on your domestic, on your diesel, on your gas, whatever the car is that you've got, or truck. CarClinicService.com online, like a healthcare clinic for your car. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis and now US 29.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Good morning, 559 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in our newsroom with the headlines. David?
Well, a rate cut looks likely for September. That, according to the minutes from the Federal Reserve's meeting last month, the vast majority of those at the meeting said that if U.S. financial numbers kept coming in at expectations, then a cut to the rates would be very probable for the next meeting. It would be the first since the early days of the COVID pandemic.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. More DNC coverage from Chicago coming up next. Stick around.